Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, welcome on in the Sports Bar After Hours podcast. In lieu of doing our regular show on ESPNRochester.com, you can hear us on the Radio.com app and wherever you enjoy your podcasts. I am Mike Danger. He is Pat Duffy from our sister station, 96.5 WCMF in the break room. Going to talk some Buffalo Bills football with Duffy. How are you, bud?
Hey, buddy. Long time no see. How you doing?
Long time no see. We're working remotely, working from home. How's that experience been so far for you and everybody else in the break room?
We're getting through it. Thankfully, our listeners have been very understanding. I mean, they seem like they're still around. We're still getting the phone calls telling us we suck on a daily basis,
good.
Which is good. But it's really hard to do a radio show when you can't see someone's face. And I know that sounds weird, but that's where we're at.
Yeah, and you and Tommy, you know, riff on each other as much as you do. To not be able to see him there in the moment has to be a little bit of a challenge, right?
Yeah, there's that, and then we're, you know, because we're doing it live, there's like a half a second delay. So I think after, like, the first 2 days was a nightmare, but I think after the third day, we kind of figured out the cadence where we could insult each other and not step on each other, so, you know.
Yeah, it's something that we're all kind of getting used to. It's a new normal, and, you know, you mentioned a half a second delay. It feels like everything is being delayed. Everything is being pushed off. Things are changing by the minute, by the day. We learned recently that the NFL will move forward with their draft as scheduled, but it will be a stay-at-home draft. It will be a remote draft for not just the Buffalo Bills, but for every NFL team. Do you think this gives the Bills some sort of an advantage when you consider that they've got a little bit more continuity than some of these newer teams, the teams that have brought in a new head coach or a new GM as an example?
100%. And not only the continuity with the players you have in-house to the familiarity you have with the free agents that you brought in, but, like, you know, Brandon Bean, it seems now that we have this knowledge, was playing chess when everyone else was playing checkers. He trades that first-round pick for Stephon Diggs plus a couple other things. And there's an article that showed up yesterday. The Bills, it was one of the top 10 worst moves in the NFL offseason because they overpaid for him. Well, you have one of the highest rates of bust in the top three rounds of the NFL is wide receiver in a normal year. Now you don't have to take a risk when wide receiver is one of your biggest gaps. You're getting a guy that you know can play in this league, and he's exactly what you know your quarterback needs. After it was announced yesterday they were doing the teledraft, everything hit me like, oh my God, he knew what he was doing the entire time. And yes, that makes me very comfortable.
I want to get back to Diggs the player, but one of the things that came out of Brandon Bean's Zoom press conference from late last week, and what I liked about it is, everything that he's always said seems to be rooted in common sense. And when you hear him say what he says, like, oh yeah, that's kind of what our initial thought was to that move in the first place, specifically with the Stephon Diggs trade. The idea that you know, you've got a guy that is established, and right now isn't the time for the Bills to worry about developing a young talent. And there's plenty of young talent in this draft at that position, but Diggs, knowing what he knows, having been in the league for a while, can come in and be impactful immediately. And I don't know that stops the Bills from going after a wide receiver in the draft. In fact, I think they should still go for a wide receiver in the draft and use that guy as the guy that can learn from a guy like Stephon Diggs and maybe become your big playmaker somewhere down the road. But this is really a move to show the rest of the league and to show this locker room, hey, we're in it now. This is our window. Allen is still on his rookie deal. Now we've got him a weapon, and really no excuses for poor performance in 2020. We've got an offensive line that is intact and more continuity there. We've got weapons now at wide receiver. We've got weapons at running back and tight end. What more do you need to be a success, Brandon Bean kind of outlining why they made the move and spent what they spent to get Stephon Diggs.
100%. And I mean, it's twofold, right? You brought it up yourself. Josh Allen's still on his rookie deal. So if Josh Allen is successful, you have a 3-year window in which you can be successful with him on his rookie deal. Because let's be real, man. Once Josh Allen signs that contract, and remember, it's not just Josh Allen's contract you have to think about. They had 2 first-round picks that year. You're going to have to pay Trey Edmonds as well right after you pay Trey White. So money could be at a premium. You've got 3 years to go get it done. They put the foot on the gas with Stephon Diggs. And even further, you bring Diggs in to see if Josh Allen is that guy that's going to get the contract when, you know, the 3-year window is up from now. Because, I mean, look, Danger, we've seen how many times the Bills bring these young quarterbacks along slowly, and by the time you get to that third, fourth year where you have to make the decision on the option, you're not totally sure if they can play, and they fall off into quarterback purgatory for 25 years.
Yeah, it's the Sports Bar After Hours. Mike Danger joined by Pat Duffy from 96.5 WCMF in the break room here on your favorite podcasting source, radio.com. Pat, one of the things that Brandon Bean mentioned in his press conference last week as well, you know, a lot of people can look at the Bills roster on paper and say right now that they have the most talented roster in the division, and Brandon Bean saying, pump the brakes. We haven't beaten the Patriots. Bill Belichick is still the coach, and even though Tom Brady isn't there going into this year, they're still the class of the AFC East. Is he right, or is he just saying what you need to say in that position?
I mean, he's saying what you need to say, right? Like, look, I know I sound stupid saying this, and maybe I am stupid for saying this, and it'll bite me in the ass, you know, 4 months from now, but what scares you in New England? That defense is a good defense. What are they going to be able to do on offense?
Yeah,
exactly. I'll take your silence as my answer. I mean, look, they're not signing Cam Newton. Maybe they're going to draft a quarterback, but they're not going to do it with a first-round pick. You're going to need time to bring that kid along. Jared Stidham is going to be your guy that's going to replace Tom Brady. And by the way, this point moving forward, you're not going to have guys in the NFL who are going to take less to come play for your team, because guess who ain't there anymore? Tom Brady. Also, your star wide receiver now in Julian Edelman is liking tweets about him being traded to Tampa Bay to go play with Brady. It's over, man. It's done. And look, it lasted plenty long enough where if you're a Patriots fan, you should appreciate it. But there is nothing about that Patriots offense that puts any fear in me. And that's a team with the offense they had last year that we should have beaten twice, we being the Bills, right? So, yeah, no, I'm good. I'm feeling good.
Duffy, what about the idea, though, and hear me out on this, that Bill Belichick is notorious for getting more out of less, that he's always had rosters with less talent, but he's gotten them to play at a higher level. Furthermore, he's well-equipped as a head coach, and many would say the best head coach that the NFL has ever seen, the greatest head coach of all time, better equipped to handle the kind of schedule that the AFC East has to go up against this year. It's going to be a rough schedule for everybody in the AFC East. Are the Patriots better equipped because of their coaching staff to have success against that schedule?
You know, I love that argument. I've been hearing it from listeners, too, because, you know, when Brady walks, I had a nice little celebration on the break room about how all these, and I'm quoting, using quote fingers, Patriots fans are now going to have to live through pain for however much long. Look, he never had less talent, right? You focus on the guys that had less talent because, oh, it's a great story to talk about. You had Tom Brady for 20 years. You had megastars coming in to play with Tom Brady while that was happening. Those megastars don't exist anymore. And, you know, the people that would call up and point to, you know, oh, well, he won 11 games with Matt Castle. Yeah, with players that took less to play with Tom Brady, Pro Bowl players that could have signed massive contracts other places that put it aside because they thought they were going to win a Super Bowl with them, right? Your Wes Welkers and your Randy Mosses, and I can go on and on and on. They don't have that anymore. It's done. And this idea, we're going to find out how good a head coach Bill Belichick is, because we haven't had to find out for the last 20 years. I mean, you're talking about a guy that was run out of Cleveland, who coached so poorly, he might have been one of the reasons why that city lost a franchise for multiple years, right? And the last game we saw him, he was outcoached by Mike Vrabel in his own backyard.
Yeah. I hear the argument. I could hear that argument and I could be like, all right, look, his track record has shown that he can get more out of less. Is this year different because the quarterback isn't there, because Tom Brady is there? That remains to be seen. And boy, you know, the Patriots, the Bills, I think the over-under in Vegas for both of them was set equally, and they are two of the top 5 teams right now in the AFC. So if you go by Vegas, the Bills right now, a playoff team, but still a lot a long way to go here before we even get to meaningful football in the NFL. I want to go back to Stephon Diggs. I hate that this was my initial reaction to the trade, but my initial reaction to the trade is a diva wide receiver might actually be more harmful to Josh Allen than helpful. Now, you know, opinions vary on Stephon Diggs, and I think his play has been mildly, you know, inconsistent from where it was with Kirk Cousins versus where it was prior to Cousins' arrival with Case Keenum. And I think you saw a different attitude out of Stephon Diggs when Case Keenum was there versus when Kirk Cousins was there. Maybe there just wasn't a thing where those guys, they just couldn't see eye to eye. A competitive wide receiver wants the ball in his hands, wants to be a playmaker, wants to be a part of their team's success. And a lot of people out of Minnesota have said that's really all that Diggs is. Do you have any issues with Diggs off the field in terms of what he could be? Could he be a hindrance for Josh Allen as the season goes on?
Look, I understand your concern, and I'd be lying if I said I hadn't thought that as well based on all the stuff he had done on social media and throwing under the bus kind of stuff that we heard about. But, I mean, find me a big play talented wide receiver, with the exception of Larry Fitzgerald, who's past his prime, that isn't a diva, right? Like, find me a Hall of Fame wide receiver that didn't do the things that Stephon Diggs is doing. I mean, even guys like Jerry Rice doing interviews, walking out, moving from team to team because he didn't like the way that he was being treated. It's going to be interesting to see how this plays out, because I get the feeling that Bean and McDermott have decided that their dressing room is so strong, that their message has gotten through so much, that they can now afford to bring guys in like that. Because there were a couple other free agents that have questionable backgrounds based on things that have happened off the field. Who was the defensive end who ended up going into the stands? You know who I'm talking about, Danger. I'm forgetting his name off the top of my head.
Was he from Miami?
No, it was one of the Panthers guys. Was it Quentin Jefferson? I can't remember, but it doesn't matter. The fact of the matter is this, man. Like, they must feel that Josh Allen is so respected and well-liked that if you bring a guy like Diggs in and he steps out of line, there's going to be 10 guys right behind Allen to go, hey, man, what are you doing? And if you have that kind of environment, well, maybe this is going to work out for you.
Who is that guy on the offensive side of the ball? Because I think on the defensive side of the ball, you still have some of that veteran leadership there with Jerry Hughes and Lorenzo Alexander saying on his way out that, look, if they didn't pick up on what I put out there while I was here, then I didn't do a very good job while I was in Buffalo. I think the defensive side of the ball is cohesive and you're going to have some of that veteran leadership. But what about on the offensive side of the ball? Is it really not a veteran? Maybe it's a guy like a Deion Dawkins who's kind of come into his own as a member of this team. Who do you say? Is it Josh Allen? I mean, are we ignoring Josh Allen, and could he be the guy that steps up and takes that leadership role?
Well, I mean, Deion Dawkins was the first name that popped into my head when you asked that question. I mean, he's a guy that goes to war both on and off the field for his quarterback. Anytime he hears any negative word about the team or Josh Allen, he's on social media defending, yelling, screaming. I think that when it comes to lead by example, John Brown might be that guy. Right? Like, he does not speak much. You don't hear him making much noise. The guy comes to work, does exactly what he has to do, and I mean, Danger, you had a guy in Zay Jones that was there to learn from him. Things didn't work out so well. They shipped him the heck out of there, and you saw some strides from Isaiah McKenzie. I mean, Robert Foster didn't have the numbers that he had the year before last season, but he looked like more of a wide receiver than he did the season before. I think that John Brown might be one of those sneaky leaders on the offense.
Is there anything to be said for the Bills raiding the Carolina cupboard once again? Josh Norman, could he have a bounce back given that he's now in a system that he's comfortable with coaches that know how to deploy him, or has he indeed lost a step? What about Darrell Williams, his versatility? Where do you see him contributing on the offensive line? A couple of players, Mario Addison, you know, like Mario Addison is the guy that's, you know, going to be charged with and tasked with replacing Shaq Lawson. Not an enormously heavy lift, but he is more advanced in age. Some of these guys coming in with Carolina roots, what are your thoughts on these moves in free agency?
Well, I think it goes back to what we were talking about with the draft. I mean, it seemed like the Bills, the whole NFL knew they weren't going to be able to get a good look at these guys because everything was going to get shut down. So why not go with the folks who you know, right? Folks that you've had experience with, folks that you know can play in this system. I understand the argument about Josh Norman, but haven't we gotten to the point where we're going to give Bean and McDermott the benefit of the doubt that they know what they're talking about? I mean, think of the defensive players that you had never heard of that showed up in this defense and have been unbelievably successful. I mean, Hyde and Poyer are the best safety tandem in the league. Not only are they playing fantastic, but they're playing under team-friendly deals. The one that Poyer just re-signed a second ago. Yeah, if you're able to find gems like that, I'm fine with Quinton Jefferson coming in. Especially, you know, Quinton Jefferson is the former first-round pick, if I'm not mistaken.
I believe it was a first-round pick, yeah.
Okay, and was a... Maybe I'm thinking of somebody else. But no, I mean, if you see potential, go do it. And maybe this is a transition where you bring in those vets that you talked about and find guys that could be replacements in this draft. Keep in mind, when it comes to defensive tackles, you have Harrison Phillips waiting in the wings. We got to see if his knee is okay. But he was coming on strong the beginning of last season, taking legitimate snaps away from Star Lotulelei.
Let's turn our focus to the draft. It's coming up at the end of the month. We made mention that just because they brought in Stephon Diggs, they probably shouldn't shy away from a wide receiver. They brought in plenty of help and depth at corner. I don't think that stops them from drafting a corner if one is there. I mean, have they really put themselves in a position here in dealing for Stephon Diggs where now, when they are picking there in the second round, they will be able to look for the guy that presents the best value regardless of his position and not draft for need, but rather draft for that value?
Yeah, I mean, where's your massive hole right now? Like, if we had to play the season today, I can't find a hole with the exception, and no, not even depth at defensive tackle like we just talked about. You took care of depth on the O-line. You took care of depth at D-tackle. You can still play with the defensive backfield you had last season, adding Josh Norman to it. Maybe it's a running back, but, I mean, you have Tywan Jones, who, by the way, was anyone else destroyed by that free agent signing, like the guy that essentially ends your season last year, you bring back into the building?
Yeah.
But it
speaks to their familiarity, right? I mean, it's not necessarily what you know with the Buffalo Bills, but who you know. And these guys are familiar faces within the organization.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm at the point now. Yeah, when you get there, whoever is the best player available, short a quarterback, go take that player. Go do it. You have nothing to lose.
Duffy, it's great hearing your voice, as always. We appreciate you carving out some time to join us here in the Sports Bar after hours. Now, Gina will be joining me again tomorrow afternoon for the podcast. What do you got coming up here the rest of the week for the audience to check out on 96.5 WCMF?
So we have been leaning on our audience in the break room because, like, you know, I haven't left the house in 2 weeks. I don't think. Like, I went grocery shopping, so I haven't heard, like, anyone else's voice other than my wife and kids, and that's starting to grate on me, and Tommy and Kimmy. So, like, everybody has been reaching out via Facebook and phone call, letting us know what their situation is like, and there is a gentleman who, let's just say, he prepared. His neighbor didn't. In fact, his neighbor made fun of him as he was preparing 3.5 weeks ago for what we're going through now, and now his neighbor needs something.
Are we rationing out the toilet paper in that neighborhood, I wonder?
That's exactly what it is. Dude asked for 2 rolls of toilet paper after he made fun of him 3.5 weeks ago for showing up from Costco or BJ's or whatever with 2 giant things of toilet paper.
It is our nation's hottest commodity. Duffy, it's great hearing your voice. Really appreciate you taking out some time to join me here in the Sports Bar after hours. And make sure you listen and subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts, radio.com and here at ESPNRochester.com. Back again with another episode tomorrow afternoon. Stay well.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.